views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Dispersed. We speak to the world across deserts, jungles, savannas, shorelines, creeks, mountains, rivers, cities, neighborhoods, barrios, and favelas. We speak across boundaries, invisible and visible. We speak across color lines, dividing for centuries. We speak into the great arms of heavens and earth, embracing ancestral spirits with our breath now. From past to present to time beyond time's time, we speak from old and young hearts to you, you who came through bellies of destruction, from captivity through slave caves, through the door of no return, bodies as commodity, branded as inhuman, you who stand as an ascendant of Ma'afa. From Accra to Sanga Bereku, to Apam to Anomabo, to Cape Coast to Elmina, to Shama and Sekundi. And brothers bound together with global memories, histories, realities of the living. Bodies branded with transatlantic slave ship ports and the arrogance of empire. Rio de Janeiro, Bahia, Liverpool, London, Nantes, Bristol, Pemabuco, Cartagena, Paramaribo, Recife, Berbice, Essequibo, Demerara. They said the barbarians in Africa belong to us. Their huts, villages, and land belong to us. Their knowledge of agriculture, their animals and farms belong to us. Their ancient libraries belong to us. They said their civilizations belong to us. Their art and music belong to us. Their gold and diamonds belong to us. Their ways of trade belong to us. Their ways of worship will be destroyed. Their ways of survival will be destroyed. Their ways of communicating will be destroyed. Brains, minds, mouths, tongues, teeth, hair, skin, muscles, bones, vaginas, penises, breasts belong to us. The profit from their bodies and labor belong to us. We will control them through serfdom, forced labor, debt bondage, chattel slavery, Jim Crow, racism, rape, segregation, whipping, beating, hanging, burning, maiming, blinding, chopping off feet, hands and genitals when they run. Banks, insurance, trade, plantations, plantations, trade, insurance, banks, diamonds, gold, coal, oil, cotton, and textiles, sugarcane, coffee, cocoa, tobacco, rice, and plutonium. All of it belong to us. Hear our prayer for African people, our prayer of connection, community, recognition, reclamation, reparations, knowledge, love, peace, beauty, intelligence, wisdom, justice, power, strength, foundation, sisters and brothers across Akebelon, Kemet, Nubia, Africa, Philippines, Vietnam, Korea, China, Laos, Cambodia, India, Japan, Europe, the U.S., Canada, Argentina, Barbados, Basra, Belize, Brazil, Chile, Costa Rica, Colombia, Cuba, Ecuador, El Salvador, Guatemala, Guyana, Haiti, Honduras, Jamaica, Mexico, Peru, Melanesia, New Zealand, Australia, Puerto Rico, Trinidad. Hear our prayer for African people that came out of Angola, Ghana, Mozambique, Madagascar, Nigeria, Senegal, Senegambia, Sierra Leone, and Windward Coast, Goree Island, Freetown, Coromandel, and Dix Cove, across this place known as these United Untied States of Institutionalized Confusion, from Alabama, Charleston, Georgia, Jamestown, Maryland, Massachusetts, Mississippi, New Orleans, New York, Richmond, and Rhode Island. My name was North Voyage, my name was South Voyage, my name is Wolof, Mandinka, Serer, Fula, Temne, Mende, Kise, Bai, De, Baza, Grebo, Batwa, Congo, Igbo, Yoruba. They call me slave, they call me negrito, they call me negro, they call me black, they call me moro, they call me moreno, they call me mulatto mestizo, they call me mixed, they call me autistic, they call me dumb nigga, they call me disabled, they call me black killer. My name is Negritude, my name is Negrismo, my name is Harlem Renaissance, my name is blues, jazz, rock and roll, rhythm and blues, Motown, hip hop. My name is Bossa Mayo, the place of memories. My name was Long Walk, eyes hidden in darkness. They say I am from the people of a time gone by, the ones that disappeared, people of the lost tribes of Shabazz, reappearing in this here and now. And now they call me failed urban city. They call me uneducated, dysfunctional minority. They call me poor. They call me broken home. They call me at risk. They call me underclass. They call me no economic development in 50 years. They call me unemployed, disrespected scholars. They call me let's forget institutionalized racism and always act like it doesn't exist. While populations of black people are searching for jobs and fresh, healthy food, live out days devastated and displaced in Detroit, in Chicago, D.C., Los Angeles, and Oakland, Watson, San Francisco, Miami, Phoenix, Houston, Austin, New Orleans, Boston, Philadelphia, Cleveland, Toledo, Windsor, Toronto, Rio, and Cuba. This is a prayer for African people. Hear our prayer
for African people. A prayer for the souls of Thomas Sankara, assassinated in Burkina Faso. Doña Beatrice Kempavita and her baby, burned in Angola.
Welcome into the Mind, Body, and Spirit Radio Show. The African prayer. I love that. That is a powerful tune by In the Tradition Band. Motown. Namaste. Namaste, satellite. Namaste, everyone. Namaste.
Namaste. Namaste. I'm still engrossed in the prayer. That was phenomenal. I love the way, first of all, you know, I love children, getting the children involved and learning their history through teaching them and involving them in prayers like that. And the fact that so many names, countries, cities, names of people, of religions, of names that we were called, and so much we have this country, but to the entire world, so much contributions. And it all belongs to us. It all belongs to us. Stolen legacy.
It belongs to us. And it's coming back. The tables are turning. The cycle is spinning. It's moving.
Yes,
it's progressing.
Yes,
people,
we are
reclaiming our land, reclaiming my time. We're reclaiming our land and our minerals.
Yes.
And most of all, reclaiming ourselves.
Yes.
So namaste. And you have a prayer for us, Featherlight.
Oh, yes. So this is just a brief prayer to invoke our spirits of our ancestors for our show. As we pour libations, and let me get my libations into the earth. Mm-hmm. As we pour our libations into the earth, we invoke the spirits of our ancestors to join us as we speak our truths, raise our vibrations, and heal our hearts. Ashe, ashe, ashe.
Ashe.
Namaste.
Namaste to you. And namaste to Scotty. Namaste to all of our listeners tonight. And you are tuned in on this lovely Wednesday, October 24th, 2018. You can follow us at the BTRs by joining the BTR community for only $24 a year. And also, don't forget to donate. Always donate. Set up your monthly donation, or you can make a large one-time donation, or whatever your heart desires. Just donate to the cause. Donate to blacktalkradionetwork.com. And again, you can join the BTRs at BTR community, and you can follow.
So the lion can finally tell his side of the story.
True that. You can also follow us on the Twitters at MB Spirit Radio. MB Spirit Radio, you can call in 704-802-5056 and join in the conversation tonight. And for our African spirit tonight, Featherlight, I'm super excited because this African spirit tonight will highlight Nobe Riyu. And we always think of him as the sugar man, refine the sugar process, the sugar refinement process. Mm-hmm. He's an innovative. But there's more to his story that we will share tonight.
Yes. There's more.
All right. And let's see. And we're talking about the heart chakra, healing your heart chakra, part two of the heart chakra, so stay tuned for that. And also the history of black hair, and that's our series, our new series here at the Mind, Body, and Spirit radio show, the black hair series, history of black hair.
Right.
And tonight we'll start with the comb. Yes, African pick. You better pick your Afro, baby. Because it's flat on one side.
One side.
One side. All right. So, shall we open up with Harlem? Mm-hmm. Okay. Harlem. What happens to a dream deferred? Does it dry up like a raisin in the sun, or fester like a sore and then run? Does it stink like rotten meat, or crust and sugar over like a syrupy sweet? Maybe it just sags like a heavy load, or does it explode? Langston Hughes. Thanks. Dreams deferred. You may have to alter that dream, but never give up. Never forget about your dreams. Don't stop believing. Believe in yourself, believe in your dreams. How many dreams have been deferred? We think about that.
The little boy who was accused of sexual assault, his dream could have been deferred by a lie.
Mm-hmm. A cold-blooded lie. Mm-hmm. All right, and my quote for tonight is anxiety. The illness of our time comes primarily from our inability to live in the present moment. A Tishnat Han. And the other night I listened to a mindfulness video with Tishnat Han. And he spoke about, in the video he speaks about living in the moment and what does that mean and how if we, what could change our life and heal us is if we just, when we breathe in and think about breathing in, that you are consciously breathing. You're breathing, be conscious of breathing in and then be conscious of your exhale. He said that's one of the most powerful things that we could do. It's like your I am. Most powerful words. I am, and whatever you attach to that. I am grateful. I am healthy. I am wise. I am whatever it is that you aspire to be. I am a mother. I am a father. Powerful words. Powerful, powerful. But just be conscious of your breath. And that's being in the moment.
Yes.
That's living in the moment.
Yes.
All right, I just want to share that.
I like that because when we do the pranayama, and I say, be conscious of your breath, as it comes in through your nose, go down your throat, down your chest, your stomach, what have you. If you actually do that, then you're in the moment. You're in the moment. You're not somewhere else. You're not thinking, okay, it's almost 11 o'clock. Blah, 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 blah. I got to get ready to go to bed. Blah, blah, blah. You're in that moment, And that's where anxiety does come from, being out of that moment and losing things.
Being out of that moment.
Mm-hmm. All right, here's my quote. This is a quote. I like this. I heard this the other night. This is how I always wanted to be, but I was afraid you wouldn't like me. That is from the character of Penelope Garcia from Criminal Minds. You know, she has this originality that is just so her. You know, it's just when you look at her, you think, do you, baby? Because nobody could do you.
Telling you.
And so, it was just on one of the shows. She hooked up with one of her very old friends, one of her hacker friends, and he made some kind of remark about the way she looked. And he said, "We used to joke about people who looked like you." And she says, "Yeah, this is how I always wanted to be, but I was afraid you wouldn't like me, you know, because we had some kind of a relationship." So evidently she was being another way that wasn't herself. And that's what we stress. That's what we stress repeatedly. Be you. Do you. And here's my other quote. Okay. Speaking of that, I'm not trying to be anymore. I am. I am. I'm not trying to be anymore. I am.
Thank you. I love it. I love it. All right. And so I am. It's very powerful.
It is.
I think, you know what? I think I will post one of those I am videos on our page. And on this video, it just goes through like a series. It's like a meditative video. And they're just a constant of affirmations of I am. I think it's about an hour long.
Okay.
If you can cut it off when you feel like it, if you want to do 5 minutes, 10 minutes. I was speaking to someone today, and she was just talking about how she was just all over the place, just scattered everywhere. And I said, did you meditate this morning? And she said, oh, I've been saying I need to do that. I said, I know. It really, really helps. And I notice a difference when I don't meditate. So, meditate. So, okay. Inventor, our black inventor for tonight is George Cook. His product, his invention was the auto fishing device in 1899. For all of you fishermen, thank George Cook. George Cook. All right. So are we ready for some hot topics?
Yes. Yes, we are.
What's that, Scotty? I don't know those letters. IW. Yeah, to help me out on that one, Scotty. All right, so some hot topics for tonight. I just want to mention Featherlight. This sheriff, was he a sheriff or a chief? He was a sheriff. I believe he was a sheriff. Guillermo Ravello. He was fired from the force earlier this year. He pleaded guilty in a Miami federal court to a conspiracy charge that he violated the rights of the falsely accused men. So let me just give a synopsis of this. So basically, in Miami, this so-called official, public servant, coerced his staff, his employees, to not protect us from crime, but he entrapped them in his criminal conspiracy to falsely accuse black men and Latino men of crimes just so they can keep their crime rates, their stats appealing to the commissioner and to the city. So there were some a series of burglaries that were taking place in some neighborhoods. So he would just say, oh, just find some black man, even if he has just like a small charge, like a jaywalking, we'll pin it on him. So that's what was going on in Miami and so many other cities all this time. And so I wanted to bring that story up a lot. I've been meaning to discuss it because there were like two other people that have been indicted over the last month or so. Two officers that were also working under him. And they were saying how this chief forced them to do this. He probably did. I mean, we've heard stories like this. And so, but still, I don't feel like you should get off. And they didn't. And even the judge said, even the prosecutors were saying, oh, give them leniency, give them, what is it, probation and house arrest. Yes, house arrest.
The judge said, no. Put your butt in jail.
You want me to give them a slap on the wrist? Right. You want me to give them a slap on the wrist for falsely incriminating people and having them jailed over crimes they did not commit? And so remember when Bernie Mac used to make those jokes about when people were in jail or in prison and people would say, what you in for, man? And they would say, nothing. Nothing. It's the truth. They were in jail for nothing. Absolutely nothing. And so all of this black crime, you know, black people. Don't post any more of those stats, because guess what? They're false. They're erroneous. They have no validity whatsoever.
Stop believing the lies.
Because these people have been going around arresting people just to enslave us. They still have prisoners picking cotton.
I sure do.
All right, so I just wanted to share that one. And then also, Feather Light, you know, we were very disgusted by that Flatbush store incident with that terrible evil woman. I don't even want to call her a woman. That terrible evil specimen that accused that poor little child of sexually assaulting her. And to me, I think she should be investigated for pedophilia, because why are you even thinking that this child, why are you fantasizing that this child touched you? That's just like, the boy is nine. That's just like you saying a 9-month-old fondling you. There's something wrong with you.
It
should be viewed as more than just, oh, you know, yeah, she, you know, said, you know, she said he touched her, you know, she wrong for it. No, that bitch needs to be investigated for pedophilia. Just like you came up with this new law to pull out these depositions, these sealed depositions of Bill Cosby, let's come up with some new bill or law, whereas this broad can be investigated for pedophilia for accusing this child of touching her. You're fantasizing. There's something wrong with you.
This a young child. What's a child?
He didn't even know anything about that.
Why? He wasn't even aware of her, period.
Let alone trying to touch her with an ugly ass. Ain't nobody trying to touch you any damn way. And see, that's what people...
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, we have flash flood warning. I'm not driving anywhere tonight. And that's why people don't like gentrification. They're opposed to gentrification, because you have some of these... hipsters or some of these people that move into neighborhoods, and then they want to try to police the people that grew up in the community, 2 generations, 3 generations in the community, and then you want to come in the community and then want to police everybody.
Right. You're the one. They're the ones that's out of place.
You're the invader, as usual.
Don't come up in their hood. You know?
If you don't want to be around black people,
right?
Then nobody tell your stupid broke self to move all the way out to the suburbs, and then you figured out you can't afford to drive from the suburbs back into downtown, and now so you don't want the black people, you don't want to be around the black people that's been living there in the urban areas. Now it's cool to be in the urban areas,
right?
In the lofts and whatnot. Come on, give me a break. Ooh. Don't do that. That's not cool. Don't do that. And so, but what was more insulting and egregious, of course, is when the mother, gave her story about, had the poor little boy apologizing, and she accepts the woman's apology. Well, he didn't apologize, but he accepted the woman's apology, the specimen's apology. And I feel like that's totally unnecessary. Why do we always have to be ask, do we forgive? You know why? It's because they know black people are so caught up in Christianity.
Yes.
And so all we focus on is forgiving.
Yes.
And so they're like, let's see if she's a good Christian.
No.
Are you a good Christian?
Yes.
Are you a good Christian? Are you ready to forgive? You're not going to go hire some goons to go beat her ass,
Jesus,
are you?
Did. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. You know what? I am so tired of the media, too. Let's not let them off the hook. Pouncing on these black mothers, particularly when there's been an obvious foul play, you know, like, oh Lord, we messed up. Let's get them on TV, you know, encourage them to let's make up and be friends, benefit for the perpetrator, you know, no hard feelings. Let's keep it moving, you know, and then they're the most vulnerable. They get the most vulnerable people, you know. And then what about the lady who was in the hospital? They pounce on them, trying to get them to say, you know, can you forgive them? And then when you think later, well, you know, I ought to sue. No, but didn't you say that you forgot about it? Didn't you say you forgave them? You know, why are you trying to sue now? See, they're trying to smooth it out so that there will be no, you know, no criminal charges. You're not going to take her to court. You're not going to press any charges because you forgave her on public TV. You know? It's all a tactic. I get so tired of us falling for that.
I do too. It's just appalling.
But I'm going to do my little TOL.
Okay, let's do the TOL.
Oh, I didn't mean it right now. I mean,
that prompted me to do the TOL. Mm. Well, no, yeah. That's right. All right, so let me see here. Let me see. How's about just a quick opioid factoid?
Please, let us know what's going on.
Oh, by the way, did you see how those bombs were delivered to Obama, Hillary Clinton, and CNN was evacuated?
Yeah.
People losing their minds, honey.
Yes, I had to take a sip of water on that one.
I had to take a sip of my daiquiri on that one. I said, my. All right, so I don't know what happened to our music. I can't hear it. I hope it's playing, though. All right, so opioid factoid. Of the last two decades, prescription opioid misuse. Okay. This is called POM, P-O-M, prescription opioid misuse. Lord have mercy. So calm, they had to come up with some initials. POM.
There. See, that alphabet soup? That alphabet soup.
Alphabet damn soup. Okay. So, has increased dramatically to become a serious behavioral health concern. Okay, so the morbidity and mortality and economic burden caused by POM, prescription opioid misuse, are substantial. In 2007, okay, that's 2007, we're in 2018, 7 years, POM cost the U.S. over $55 billion in health care, lost workplace productivity, and criminal justice costs. Isn't that something?
Ooh.
The rate of treatment
and $55 billion.
Let me just repeat that. A recent report estimated that in 2007, prescription opioid misuse cost the U.S. over $55 billion in healthcare, lost workplace productivity, and criminal justice costs. Additionally, the rate of treatment admissions for POM has quadrupled from 1999 to 2009. And prescription opioids, of course, as we mentioned, are now implicated in more deaths annually than cocaine and heroin combined. Yes, and particularly POM is problematic in rural areas like Maine and areas of Appalachia, including eastern Kentucky, southern Ohio, and western Virginia. And guess what? Those are places where many black people have been excluded, or where they...
Right, very low percentage.
Or where they experience racial hatred.
Right.
And terroristic.
Run out of town.
Terroristic threats. Mm-hmm. Yes. So you didn't want to be around black people.
Right.
And now you're dealing with all of this mess. This opioids. Mm-hmm. Maine. What's their demographics? How many black... What's their percentage of black people in Maine? Like 1.2? Something like that. I'm not even sure. But anyway. So... In fact, the origins of POM epidemic can be traced back to rural America, where reports of Oxycontin abuse first began to surface. Remember, we discussed the Oxyana video. Mm-hmm. All right. And that is our opioid factoid for tonight. I might post that on the BTR page too.
I'm still right, tripping over these palm prescription.
Right, palm.
That's such a sweet name. Misuse. That's just like I misspoke. No, you lie.
I misspoke.
Okay.
All right. So for our doing the damn thing, we are honoring all Black entrepreneurs. And I did say all Black entrepreneurs because this is Black Talk Radio Network, where you can donate. Set up the monthly donation. It's easier just to do that. That way you don't have to worry about it.
Yes.
Young Tech Innovators app. Yeah, and it's done. Those that are creating apps, those that are creating social media content, robotic developers, young authors, clothes designers, platform developers like Scotty Reed, founder of Black Talk Radio Network, hotel owners, hair salon owners, car wash owners, carpenters, cleaning service owners,
screenplay writers
that are writing about Black content that's uplifting us.
Yes.
Who else, Federal?
Writers, authors. Those
writers and authors. And those of you that have a dream and a plan and you work in that plan. Okay. Let me see it too.
Yes.
Did
you know that there are about 523 hotels owned and operated by African Americans?
How many?
120 owned by Robert Johnson, former Black entertainment television owner. Currently, there are nearly 2.6 million African American owned businesses in the U.S. And now there are countless platforms, programs, initiatives, and conferences in place to support this phenomenal growth. So I'd like to share a few of them for those who have ideas and they'd like to be around other people who are thinking like them. So there's one that we just missed, but I will tell you about it anyway, and you can catch it next year, the 23rd Annual Black Enterprise Entrepreneurs Summit, which took place in Charlotte, North Carolina, this past summer. It's a 3-day deal. This summer, also Black Tech Week, that was in Miami. Okay, they have Black Wall Street Homecoming that will take place this fall. Black Wall Street Homecoming. The networking conference will take place in Durham, North Carolina. Is for early stage African-American entrepreneurs focused on the intersection of content, connections, and culture. So Black is the new Black. I like that. Black is the new Black. An African-American entrepreneur's manifesto. Russell Center for Innovation and Entrepreneurship. That's in Atlanta. Russell Center for Innovation and Entrepreneurship. Let's give a date, but you can just type that in. The center will launch a fundraising campaign this summer with plans to open its doors in 2019. ACT House, ACT House, helps prime young African Americans for entrepreneurship. It was launched in 2016. The ACT House is located in Tallahassee, and it places African American student entrepreneurs in one house for 1 year to build a startup. So that's a very good idea. Okay, that's ACT House, ACT House. So Google it, goggle it, and see what's what.
Goggle it. All right, cool. Thanks for sharing, Fevola.
Doing the damn thing.
Yes, doing the damn thing. All right, and now love the body.
Love the body, love the body. Are you sleeping with the fan on at night? Some people just love to sleep with the fan on. No matter what the temperature is, it's just that fan blowing down on them. I know. It's so many people. What is it about with you, with the fan? that you just really want to have it on while you are asleep? Is it anything particular?
It's the breeze.
Okay.
I love the breeze, and also I probably enjoy the humming, because you know, fan humming is a sleep sound for some people.
Right. Right.
Sound that assists with sleep. So it's probably a little of that as well, combined with the breeze. I love a breeze.
Okay. Have you ever wondered what happens while you sleep with the fan on? Let me enlighten you. So, several things. When you let the cold air constantly hit your body while you're asleep, you could wake up with stiff and sore muscles. The reason behind this is simple, because cold air is concentrated on one part of your body, will cause the muscles it hits to tense up, which makes sense. So, considering most people sleep on an average about 8 hours, 7 to 8 hours a night, that's a long time for muscle to tense up. So, this is one of the more common reasons people wake up with a stiff neck. Okay. The other thing is allergies. If you take a look at most people's fan blades, you're likely to find some amount of dust. So, this just means dust and allergens are being tossed all around your room, making you feel sick. When you wake up in the morning, you're like, you know. So, I mean, the dust is flying around, and you're inhaling it. So, you're breathing in these allergens all night while you sleep. So, it's not going to end well. All right? That's number two. Number three, sinus pain. Air is obviously something that dries anything out, right? Because it's in the bathrooms, you know, you get the little button and boots. Dries your hands. Okay. Well, the same way a fan can dry your hands, it can and will dry out your sinuses. So, if the dryness is severe enough, it could leave a sinus headache. Something no one wants to wake up to in the morning. All right. So, think about that. Sometimes you do wake up with a headache. You know, like, oh, God, I must not have slept, you know, right. But it's the fan if you have it on all night, because it's drying out your sinuses. Okay, so these are all possible side effects, you know, while you sleep. So most people don't think about that. Okay, they say, well, the alternative is sweating. So who wants to sweat while you sleep? So here's some things that you can do. All right, if you want to keep the fan on, keep the fan pointed away from your face and your body directly, if possible. Now, me, I love the breeze, but I don't have to have it on all night, because sometimes I'll wake up and I'll flick it off. But I did know this some time ago, some years ago. So when it is on, I make sure that the wind isn't coming directly on my face, because I sleep on my back. It's not good to sleep on your side. And I sleep on my back, so it's coming directly on me, so I'm always under the cover when the fan is on, because I know that the fan does these things to me. So I will put my head up under the cover, or I will put my nose all the way up to my nose and have all my eyes coming out, because I don't want it coming up my nose. Okay, so that's one thing. Get an air purifier in your room to help filter the dust and allergens from the air. Okay, so I've got the little salt rock thing, Himalayan rock, I've got that. And third and most easy, clean your fan blades as often as you clean the rest of your house. And then solve the problem. Love the body.
That lemon, thank you. That lemon, look, I'm saying thank you. Like I presented the love of body, but thank you, and then she rings her own bell. Okay, then she rings her own bell. But I could use that lemon verbena cleaning solution on the fan blades, and then that'll give my room.
Area
like a nice lemony thing, which I absolutely love. All right, so
smidgen of oregano oil, because oregano oil.
Oh yeah, that'd be great. Eucalyptus is good for that too. Yeah. Asthma. So people that have asthma, and if you have a fan, you can put some eucalyptus or oregano oil on the fan, and that'll help with the asthma. All right. So do you want to go into the TOL before the break or after? Do it after what?
After the break.
Okay, after break. All right, so how's about then let's just introduce our black hair topic for tonight. And we'll pick that back up. So I want to talk about black hair. You know, black hair, especially, well, I'm not even going to say especially for black women, because black men historically have found significance in their hair and hairstyles too, in different cultures. Black men, they may wear certain hairstyles also to represent their significance in the culture. And even today, we have black men, some black men wear the face, high top face. Remember all of that? The high top face, the mohawks, that little angle mohawk fade that Tupac had in Bishop in, what was that, Juice. So men have been quite creative with their hairstyles as well. Mm-hmm. And hairstyles in various African cultures would represent like your place in society, or if you're single or married, or, just your significance overall. Excuse me. So we want to start this series on black hair, and we'll invite some black hairstylists and barbers to come on. Hopefully they'll be able to come and share. We wanted to talk about this. We want to talk about black hair because of how it's impacted us in so many different ways, positive and I would say some unpleasant as well. We've heard the stories, right, Feather Light, about how so many of these young girls that are going natural, and they're in these prison preparatory academies, and the school districts have these rules where they can't wear braids or can't wear their hair in these different styles that they call distracting, but they're actually very, very traditional for us. And they're representative of our culture, and it's just natural. That's why we call it natural. They're natural styles. So tonight we are going to just go into a little bit of this video entitled 400 Years Without a Comb. And it's a documentary and a book by Willie L. Morrow. And he speaks about the inferior seed. So let's see. So the comb for the African represented more than an implement. Now I have some replicas of some hand carved African combs. I meant to post those on the BTR page, Feather Light, so remind me to do that. Okay. The grooming of the hair, as we mentioned, was quite significant. The designs of the hair told a story. The designs told a history and more. And in some cultures, if a woman left her hair undone, it was often a sign of depression or an immoral woman, or something was amiss.
Right.
Because people took great care with their hair. Even we've seen the carvings of Egyptians and Nubians as they would comb each other's hair and style each other's hair. Someone sitting in the chair and they're sniffing the lotus flower, inhaling the beautiful scents of a lotus flower, and someone's playing with the hair right behind them. We've seen those carvings, right? Those designs.
Right, yes, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So this has always been a part of our heritage and our culture. The designs would often link to a particular tribe or culture, and they gave information about the person, the social status, the age, marital status, worth, wealth, fertility, manhood, and your religion. The styles were often very diverse and intricate. I've seen some of those styles, Feather Light, whereas there's a small braid coming up here and a larger poof here and then a slick piece here and then a braid in the back. And they're so beautiful. And sometimes it would take days days designing these styles, and we'll talk more about the styles next week. So for tonight, the combs were ornately designed according to the texture of the hair. And so we may think that on the whole continent of Africa, everybody had woolly hair. That's not the case. Your hair texture was a result of the climate that you lived in.
Right.
And also, it would change based on different situations. We're not even going to go into all of that right now. But different situations, like if you look at many of the Ethiopians and the Eritreans and the Somalians, they have a more wavy type of hair. I'm not into all of that 4C, 2B, 2A and all of that. They have a more wavy kind of hair because Italians invaded that area. Okay, so they have a different hair texture than, say, someone has in Ghana or what was Nubia in ancient times. So, but, right. And then based on where you live, people would use like different herbs and clays and pastes. Right. And things like that for their styles, because right. They have different styles. Have you seen those pictures of the women that have that long red clay, long red clay in their like locks? And they may have like 10 locks. They're big and they're long. And they almost like touch the floor. Yeah. I think that's so beautiful.
That is
so beautiful. Mm-hmm. In some motherland. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Did you know that the wooden combs were much better than the more up to date combs that they have now, like the plastic or the metal combs? Mm-hmm. Because the wooden combs allow for even distribution of the hair oils from the scalp through the hair, and it kept the scalp from being too greasy, and also the metal and the plastic were rough on the hair. The plastic held static, right? Whereas the wood was smooth, right, and polished. So it was if you had a tender scalp, it was easier on your scalp, and it didn't cause as much. It wasn't as much painful. Wasn't as painful.
Cause a lot of friction.
So the wooden combs were much better.
Mm-hmm. Better for your hair. I could really see how the wood was better for your hair to use as a combing, grooming utensil more so than plastic or the metal, because the wood is an element.
Yes, it's natural.
It's an element. It's natural. Mm-hmm. It's natural. Yeah. See how people corrupt things, and you have something natural to use, something healthy, then it's all corrupted. Ugh. All right. So, thanks for sharing that. And speaking of the wood and the comb, in some motherland cultures, Featherlight, it was very common for a man to give a comb as a gift to a woman he was interested in.
Nice.
A relationship with. Mm-hmm. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Give a lady a comb. Something that you carved, handmade.
Right. And you know it would be unique. You know, have special something about it. You know. That would be nice. Mm-hmm. Something that you could keep too. Okay.
Right.
So then
Featherlight, I just want to say this before we go to the break, and then we can just come back after the break with the next portion, the next section. But I did want to mention, I think of how when we're talking about the different combs, how we used to use the wide tooth comb for our hair, but then when people would try to use like a thin tooth comb. And they try to rake it through your hair. I've even been in a salon whereas like the tech would try to comb through my thick hair with one of those combs. I'm like, oh no, baby, Do not do that. My hair is too thick for that. Even if you section my hair off, you can't use that type of comb. You have to use the proper comb for our hair. And so many mothers would find displeasure in combing their daughter's hair, saying, "Oh, it's too difficult to deal with. Her hair too thick and all of this." And we came to this place where we didn't want to take the time to comb our children's hair, and we started using all those kitty perms.
Because you're using the wrong tools.
Right. But, you know, I don't think that they used to really have in the beauty supply stores at one time the larger combs like this. So it was kind of difficult to find the proper comb other than the Afro pick. And then it seemed like we didn't see the Afro pick after the curl. I don't recall really seeing like the wide tooth combs for a while. I don't know, maybe.
Yeah, we had the wide tooth combs when we were.
Now, I remember that ace comb. Lord knows I remember that ace comb. Remember that thick, black, hard ace comb that sometimes would double as a whipping tool, a smacking tool?
Right.
Ace comb. Ooh, Lord have mercy. All right, so why don't we take our break, and then we'll come back with the next segment of African hair, the history of African hair. And I am loving this series already, just delving into the history of the comb. So stay tuned. Stay tuned as we come back with more of our hair, black hair series. You're listening to the Mind, Body, and Spirit Radio Show. Don't forget to donate to Black Talk Radio Network and also join the BTRs for $24 a month. You can join the BTRs and you can follow us at the Mind, Body, and Spirit page. We'll be right back.
Hi, the Black Talk Media Project would like to invite you to become a member of the BTR Community subscription-based social media platform. BTR Community is a platform that was set up for the listening audience of Black Talk Radio Network, the number one independent black radio network online. For just $24 per year, your subscription gives you access to an interactive space to share information with like-minded people with your privacy guaranteed. Your subscription will go a long way to help us maintain and improve our current media platforms. It will also help provide a budget so that we can begin the task of establishing localized media centers and radio stations across the United States. The best way to show your support and appreciation for what we do here at Black Talk Radio is to subscribe. Help us to help you be informed. Join BTRCommunity.com today.
All right, so we're back here at the Mind, Body, and Spirit Radio Show, and let me share a quote. Live life in the moment. One of the central purposes of mindfulness is to establish a connection with the present without judgment or criticism. By practicing this on a regular basis, you can use it to reduce your stress levels, feel healthier, and enjoy more life.
That's right.
That's where it's being quoted.
All right. Get rid of that stress. Do not worry about anyone taking your crown. Crowns are a gift from God, and they are custom made. Your crown will never fit anyone else.
Your crown will never fit anyone else. All right.
It's made just for you.
That's right. What's your crown? That's your crown. Let me see. Should we go into the MBS letter and then pick back up on the hair or just finish out the hair?
Let me see. We can finish out the hair.
I think we should finish out the hair. Okay.
All right. So, talking about the transatlantic slave trade after this, for some of those who were transported to different parts of the world, through the transatlantic slave trade, grooming lost its importance. It is said that many plantation women would cover their hair because they were either forced to do so or for not having the necessary grooming implement, as we just mentioned. So we know that even up into like the 60s or so, Eartha Kitt said that she had to cover her hair. It was a rule when she was performing. She couldn't have her hair showing because it was felt that black people were not supposed to have long, luxurious hair. And it was said to be unsightly. So we do know that that is true. The murderous invaders attempted to cut off any ties that reminded Africans of who they were, their culture. There was pain associated with blackness, the wide nose, full lips, and curly hair. Features of the African were deemed unattractive, and the lighter-skinned Africans with European features and straighter hair were deemed more desirable. For years, mothers would pinch their babies' noses and or press the child's lips to force them into more European-like features to influence their shape. Mulatto children were praised and viewed as beautiful because of their straighter hair and lighter skin tone. Not having the traditional or customary African comb with the wide tooth, maintaining a child's hair became more difficult for African parents. In the 1800s, without combs, they were forced to use bacon grease, butter, kerosene, and sheep brushes to maintain their hair. Can you imagine? Just whatever they can get their hands on to maintain their hair. Black Rose, are you still there?
Oh, sorry, I had myself on mute. I still think of the psychological trauma associated with hair. How we were forced to when we once loved our hair and had such great pride in our hair, and then it devolved to you having to put some Axe oil in your hair to try to alter it in some kind of way.
That would be very traumatic. That would be very traumatic.
And mulatto children were often viewed as pretty. Their hair was pretty, more manageable, and we began to call this good hair.
Yeah,
and just abandoned the whole idea of our hair being the antennas that connected us to the universe and to the source.
Right,
kinky hair, kingly hair.
Kingly hair.
People used to say the afro was a halo. And it was beautiful. Our afros were beautiful. They are beautiful. People still wear afros. And so, let's see. Women would use the flat irons to alter their hair. Men would use the conch. Or wear the conch hairstyle. We saw how the conch was applied in Spike Lee's Malcolm X film.
Right.
So you want to talk about the Louisiana
pain of doing that?
The pain. Oh my God. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. The pain. You want to talk about that Louisiana? The Louisiana laws related to hair?
Let me see. What was that? Where is that? Hold on a second. That was very important. It was a law about what women had to do with their hair.
With their hair. I think it was like in the 1700s.
The white women were so upset about the beauty of the black woman's hair, and it attracted their white men. There was a law. Oh, I can't find it right now. The law.
I have it here. It was So, and it was in 1789.
Go ahead.
Tigman laws were established in Louisiana, which required the black women to use fabric to cover their hair in public. And so they were forced to adopt this new law, and the black women began to purchase beautiful fabric to wear as head wraps and tie them in elaborate ways. So what was supposed to draw less attention actually made them more alluring. You can't stop the magic, baby. You cannot stop the magic, no matter how hard you try.
We will keep being creative.
We keep being beautiful.
Being creative. We'll think of something else.
How we overcome. Your care. all right, let's get a little heart chakra in before it gets too late.
Okay. Dunder.
Can people hear that storm? Yeah, we have a storm brewing here. Flash flood warning and all here on the island. All right, so time to heal. And that's what we're all about here at the Mind, Body, and Spirit Radio Show. Healing. We've been going through our chakra series, and we are working on healing our heart. So heart chakra, give it to us, Feather.
All right. The heart chakra for thousands of years has been known as the center of love, unity, balance, and the center for healing. Imbalances within the heart, which is the central core of healing, can throw the entire system off balance. Many people lose their balance by giving too much, losing their ground, giving when their energy is depleted. As they say on the plane, put the cup over your face first and then try to help somebody else. Mm-hmm. We are taught selfishness is wrong, but constant overdrawing of the count, our heart, can deplete the resources, which results in a deficient backlash. We don't have to be puritanically good, okay, or selfishly evil. There is a balance. Mm-hmm. Love is not something that is attached to an object. Love is a state of being in harmony with oneself. Now that's love.
All right. So if you chronically experience a sense of social isolation, loneliness, resentment, bitterness, or fear, you have many self-critical thoughts, you gain your sense of self-worth from other people, if you're a people pleaser, you have poor boundaries, making you prone for codependent relationships, constantly see yourself as a victim or martyr, terrified of being alone, you likely have a blocked heart chakra. And there are many causes of a blocked heart chakra. So you have suppressed or stagnated heart chakra. If you're feeling like you're a victim all the time, if you're terrified of being alone. So some of the most common life experiences that impair the heart chakra include experiencing physical or emotional abuse as a child, or being raised by an emotionally cold or narcissistic parent. Being denied affection and love. How many people say they were denied affection, didn't get a hug, didn't receive that hug from their parents? Adopting healthy societal beliefs surrounding love. Maybe you have some type of feelings about relationships. You were never taught to cherish relationships. You were taught to lie in relationships, be deceptive, not have relationships, just have situations, like Cat Williams say, situations, not relationships. Developing self-destructive habits that block the giving and the receiving of love. Now, Featherlight, when you said like many people lose their balance by giving too much, losing their ground and giving when their energy is depleted, I know that I've experienced that before, and some of the listeners were probably saying, me too. And so it's time for us to to take back ownership of our own lives. Right. Be your own producer and director of your show. Everybody else is an actor. And I think I want to think of it as they're actually trying out for the part.
Right. Exactly.
Try out for the part.
They don't have to stay.
And there's no contract. I don't have to keep you in my life for a certain amount of time. If right. I feel like I want to fire you out of my life, fire you out of this place, terminate your existence in this show,
your part is over.
Then so be it. Mm-hmm.
Your part is over. Thank Kick you very rocks. Much.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah. Protect your heart. Okay. So how can we begin to heal our heart chakra? So we have a couple of sources we'd like to give credit to. Ralph Smart, Infinite Waters. He always has very good information on healing, how to heal yourself emotionally and mentally. And also from a book called Wheels of Life, The Classic Guide to the Chakra System by Anadia Judith, PhD. She's one of the country's leading experts on the relationship between the chakras and therapeutic healing. So number one, we have seven highways in our face. Okay, we have two eyes, two ears, a mouth, and two nostrils. So energy can enter through either one of these channels or entries. So we must be very careful about what we allow ourselves to consume, whether it's through listening, eating, seeing, or inhaling. You not only eat food, which is energy, but we take in energy through these other channels as well. Okay? So Ayurvedic medicine, which has been around for thousands of years, we are what we eat, what we are looking at, what we are hearing. Some things I just refuse to grace with my eyes. I mean, some things I know that maybe I should know about, but something I have to protect what energy I am allowing to come into my system. I could not. I couldn't. Oh, people being killed, shot in the face, and you know, for real, not a movie, but for real on TV. You can tell me about it, but you don't have to show it to me. I don't want that embedded in me. Okay. So what we listen to, we just talked about music a few weeks back, the type of music. Is it destructive or helpful? That's what we have to ask ourselves. Okay? Is what you're watching helping you?
Is it helping you?
Right.
Is it helping you? Is it improving your life in any kind of way? If it's not, eliminate it.
Yeah.
All right. So the element for the heart chakra is air, which is associated with the breath, pranayama. If your breath is in any way constricted, then so is your life, right? And this is a quote by Michael Grant White. Your breath is the heart of life.
That it is.
Breath as related to the element air, yes it is one of the primary keys to opening the heart chakra. So breathe. Air is also the most quickly distributed element in the body, unlike food, which takes hours, even days, to digest. A normal pair of lungs can hold about 2 pints of air, while the average person breathes in about 1 pint or less per breath. Breathe normally, then add more air to it, and then just see how your chest feels after that. Most intellectual activity, since it requires so little oxygen, leads to shallow breathing, which becomes a habit for us. So like when we experience frequent fear or anxiety or depression, smoking, polluted air, and that all leads to breath deprivation.
Right.
All this toxic air and stuff in the air. It also leads to slower metabolism, which I was unaware of, lower physical energy levels, and it makes sense, and builds up toxins in your body, which consequently will promote dis-ease of the body.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So the brain also relies on oxygen, of course. If you hold your breath and see how long you can remain, hold your breath and then just see how long you remain conscious. Mm-hmm. It's a survival tactic used to keep us from being detected from dangerous creatures. Like when you're trying to hold your breath, you've seen on a movie or something when someone's hiding.
Right.
And they're like, let me just hold my breath.
Right.
Make it a habit to calm yourself by deep breathing. Remember in the beginning of the show, we talked about breathing in and being aware of you breathing in, of breathing, and inhaling.
Right.
And be consciously aware of the exhale.
Right.
The mind and the body can be calmed and controlled by controlling the breath. That is why we practice pranayama at the end of every show, because we purify the body. Mm-hmm. Pranayama techniques can nourish the psychic and the spiritual pathways in our body. So it's so important for us to breathe and pay attention to that breath.
Yes.
It's a vital life force.
It is. It really is. The heart chakra is extremely important. As we just said, it's the element is air. Without air, we're not here. So that's why it's like the center healing point. Okay? De-stress completely and rest the mind, rest the body. That's why we have love the body. It is so important.
Love
get a massage.
Body.
You're worth it. All that you do, relaxation is what we are. Stress is what we think we need to be. Some people actually feel as if they do more if they wait to the last minute and work on the stress. I get so much done when I'm under stress. But that's not good to stay under stress like that. Okay? We treat our bodies like machines. I know. We treat our bodies like machines at times. It's a living, breathing mechanism that needs ample rest. Too much stress creates the hormone cortisol, which deprives the brain of memory, as well as shortens your lifespan, and it deprives one of your youthfulness. Remember this. Okay, this cortisol is really important. Cortisol also creates the extra fat around the middle that's almost impossible to get rid of, no matter how much you try to diet. You're like, but I'm not eating as much as I'm working out, but it's still there. That's cortisol, and it's created by too much stress. Another thing that cortisol does, it kills off the telomeres. Telomeres is something that's in our chromosomes. It's at the end of your chromosomes. It's in everybody's DNA. It plays a very crucial role in protecting us from diseases like cancer and advanced aging. So this cortisol kills this off, and this puts us at a higher risk of death, and not to mention graceful aging. Don't you want to age gracefully? Relax.
Yes.
Relax.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. I want to age gracefully. Yes. Detox. Detox. Eat the right nutrients versus starving yourself. Too much acidity in the body creates diseases. Mm-hmm. Alkaline foods are mostly leafy greens. So keep your body as alkaline as possible. Cancer cells tend to thrive with junk foods and processed foods. So consume foods as close to their natural state as possible. And that'll help keep the body more balanced. And you should also try some detox baths. And feather light.
That's
right. I think that'll be great to post on the page as well. Some of your detox bath recipes.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, try daily ecotherapy. My favorite. Mm-hmm. Get out of the concrete jungle. Brr. Get into nature. Try forest bathing. Nature is the best source of energy healing. In chromotherapy, which is a practice of healing with color, the color green is healing. If you want to heal, green is the color. Green is also the color of the heart chakra, right? So it goes together.
Mm-hmm.
Simply go to your local park, your woodland, your bushland, or wherever there's lots of greenery. And if you live in a city where there's not a lot of greenery nearby, then try you know, getting a few pot plants or indoor shrubs and encourage your heart chakra healing that way.
Yeah.
There was a time when we mostly lived in nature, okay? We were snatched by the meddling thieves, our ancestors. Okay. Nature was all around us. There was not so much concrete as we live in today. Radioactive waves from the microwave, the heater, the computer use, phones through our ear most so many hours. I don't like that phone to my ear. Guys, check it out. Too much electricity. It's going to throw off your chakras. Okay? We were healthier back then when we were around nature, and we had a stronger immune system. So, go do some earthing. Take your shoes off. Get back to nature.
All right, so epigenetics. Wait, before we go to epigenetics, getting back to nature. Mm-hmm. I love being able to walk barefoot in the grass when it's nothing in it but just the grass.
Yeah,
like walking through a field, like a field of wildflowers or dandelions. Oh gosh, this is so beautiful. It reminds me of when we used to sit and play in the grass,
right?
And we were happy.
Yeah,
look, we were earthing and didn't even know it.
Remember
when we used to? We'd sit in the grass and pick those. What were those flowers that we used to make the necklaces and bracelets?
I
don't even see them anymore.
Because the bumblebees love them.
Right. All the GMOs now, the GMO seeds from Monsanto, they kill those flowers. I don't even see those anymore. Necklaces and bracelets for each other. Different necklaces. Yeah, we would sit there in the grass and tie them together.
We could sit there for hours.
That was like something. Oh, God. Yeah, it was so much fun. It was so much fun.
And it was just nature.
It was nature. And I'm glad that my green thumb seems to be improving.
Yeah.
So I haven't killed any of my new plants.
I checked out your plants. It's so nice to watch them grow, isn't it?
And they speak to you.
So
that Stevie Wonder album about the plants?
Nature. Yeah, the plant something, and everybody was like,
What? It was a beautiful album. I should see if I can play that. All right. So you were about to say you have what now?
Oh, I have basil that I started from seeds. I have cilantro. I have mint. And I also have green onions. Right on my patio. So I'm growing these things.
Okay.
It's so wonderful to just kind of walk out and pick them and throw them in my smoothies. I love it.
Right. Okay. So epigenetics, how our perception can actually alter our DNA, how you see yourself influences how you heal yourself, and how we overcome. I just love to hear Oprah say that. she reminds me of, I'm not even going to go into all of it because we're short on time. So that's just my little inside joke. If you constantly see yourself as a victim, again, as we mentioned, you can prevent yourself from healing. So don't keep viewing yourself as a victim. Love yourself. Improve your healing. FLY, remember, first love yourself.
Exactly. And if you have a lot of negative experiences in life, for instance, you don't like your job, you don't like your manager, you're stuck in a bad person relationship and don't know how to get out of it, this is a repetitive negative circumstance. Your body becomes used to this state, and your brain is changing it and adapting to this state. Because this is all your brain knows day after day, week after week, month after month. So it keeps repeating this negative loop. Okay? Like the Matrix, like a smoky fog, a haze. crystal. If your brain is changing based on your experiences and you don't like your experience, change your experience to ones that are more pleasant.
Mm-hmm.
Find you another job. Better still, become an entrepreneur. But get out of that negative loop.
Get out of that loop. Get off that beltway.
Yes. Yes.
We get so stuck in the loop. I know I feel like I've been stuck in a loop. It's just like the same thing sometimes. And it's really like a hold sometimes. And it's just like pulling you in this direction. And it's that matrix. It's that system, that matrix, keeping you on the grid, keeping you on the grind, and all of that, instead of actually living life and enjoying life and living in the moment. We always have to think about work or taking care of this or that. So we are changing that. Now we'll pick back up on our heart chakra healing, because it's so much that is heart chakra healing, but we have to heal. Yes. Not but, and we are going to heal. We are healing.
Yes.
Always speak in the moment.
Yes. Mm-hmm. We are. Right now. Healing. As we speak.
Right now. Right now. Right now. Right now. And right now, right now, right now, we will take a break, and then we're coming back with our African spirit. Stay tuned for the African spirit. Let me get my book out, because we are talking about Norbert Velu. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back after this break with our African spirit. You tuned in to the Mind, Body, and Spirit Show.
To the Black Talk Radio Network for podcasts and live program scheduling.
All right, Featherlight, we are back. I don't know if our audience can hear the music, because I can't hear it, so I'm not sure if it's playing. Oh, there it is. Hey. Yes. Hey. Dun, dun, dun. Right, so for our African spirit tonight, we are honoring Norbert Velu, 1806 to 1894. And I heard of Norbert Velu, but I never really knew his full story. For the like, when we hear about inventors, we just hear about the patent. Now, maybe where they were born, the patent number, the year, and that's pretty much it. We just know that this person developed this. We may get a short synopsis, some insight, brief insight to this person's life. But I love this book, Black Pioneers of Science and Invention by Lewis Haber, because this book provided information about Norbert Velu that I never, ever heard before. So I just have to share this. And, you know, this will encompass for tonight, Featherlight, our not only African spirit, but also the African hidden piece, as well as Did You Know? Because there's so much to Norbert Velu. So I do want to share this with the audience. So
okay.
So very few inventions can... Okay, baby, we will do that. Very few inventions can be said to be of worldwide significance. It is generally recognized, however, that
Featherlight, we lost Black Rose. We lost your audio.
Okay. All right.
We have you.
I'll tell you what. While she's getting back on, Oh, shucks.
Hello?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay.
I'm here.
We got a lot of dead air.
Huh?
We have a lot of dead air.
Okay. I thought I was muted. Okay, so let me do, while she's getting back online, I'm going to do a TOL, Thoughts Out Loud. Okay. So, Thoughts Out Loud. This was prompted by this young boy who was accused of sexual assault, and these are my thoughts on it. A well-known professor was arrested in his own brownstone home in Cambridge, Massachusetts, after someone called 911 and said men were breaking and entering, and after proof of identity, Obama called truce over beer at White House after comments he made. Officers should have been reprimanded, not heralded at the White House with a beer summit. Everybody doesn't even drink beer, so what the heck? This black man was not young, and we don't know his health. The fact that he was a professor, and well-known, Professor Henry Louis Gates, got the attention of the country. This could have traumatized him, a black man, police confronting you in your own home with no witnesses. Professor Gates is shown handcuffed, led into the police station, booked, and processed with a mugshot as if he had committed a criminal offense. Result, free beer, shake hands, disorderly conduct, charge, drop. Oh yeah, you get to meet the president, whoopee. Another case of mistaken identity in your own home by a police officer ended in the death of a black man, Gene Botham. Can't have beer at the White House, not that he'd be invited, but he's no longer with us. Oops, sorry. Case still in court, but let us not claim amnesia again. The woman who accused a young innocent boy of sexual assault in a store when his book bag hit her accidentally reportedly has a history of harassing people in the neighborhood. If the camera was not on and the world clearly saw what had happened, this could have been another Emmett Till in the making, only social murder. And now the mother is pressured to forgive and accept this maniac's apology. By the way, my piece to TOL is called Apology Not Accepted. When black people are wrongfully accused, killed in cold blood, or otherwise marginalized, we're expected to put aside our feelings, beliefs, and be okay with it. Apology accepted. Move along. Nothing to see here. But when a black person knocks out a few store windows during a protest, bringing no harm to anyone, they're called thugs. Locked up even. This young boy was clearly distraught, and his mother is so concerned about pleasing others, she forgets about her own child's feelings. She put others' feelings before his, trying to do the Christian thing, compassionate discernment, because his mother is not familiar with compassionate discernment. Her child will grow up harboring the fact, feeling, thinking, other people's feelings are more important than mine. There is another case of a young teen whose mother beat him on camera for protesting police brutality and then proudly appeared on TV talk shows in front of more cameras as the mother of the year, totally disregarding her son's feelings. He felt he'd done nothing wrong. He was protesting brutality against people who looked like him. You can clearly see this on both of the faces of both of these youths. Now he's a thug, she's a hero. The young boy in the store is no doubt traumatized and will surely be teased at school, particularly by racist children who have racist parents and children who have no empathy. forcing him to get on television and accept this woman's apology when he hasn't even had a chance to process this mess will have devastating effects on him as time goes by. As young children, we are conditioned and taught by approval, or lack thereof, from our parents. This feedback shapes our first ideas of who we are. These actions can lead to self-denial, low self-esteem, low self-worth. What are we doing to our children? What messages are we sending them? What are we asking them to accept? This is not the Jim Crow era. Why is it that we as black people in this country who are constantly disrespected, brutalized, marginalized, repeatedly lied on, and victimized, always ask to apologize, shake hands, forgive, and pray for those who intentionally mean us harm? If a man abuses you and apologizes and you forgive him, and he does it again, and you forgive him, and he does it again, and you keep forgiving him, do you think that he will stop? You are teaching him or her it is okay. This was not a mistake. The woman who made these false allegations would still hold true to her lie had it not been for the camera. So many of our black men and boys have gone to jail and lost their lives because a white female accused them of assaulting or raping her. This caused the destruction of Black Wall Street. Remember? Mm-hmm. A bomb was dropped on the entire neighborhood because of a simple false accusation by a white woman. Does this country have selective amnesia when it comes to horrendous crimes committed against black? This little boy is now known by half the country. And this will be with him forever. And we as adults can't even begin to recognize how his life has been turned upside down over a white woman who seeks attention and got it. Sue her. Sue her pants off. Apology not accepted. This is what compassionate discernment is. If someone is trying to hurt you, physically or otherwise, if someone is constantly using you to their benefit, if someone is lying on you continuously, compassion is not the answer. You don't invite them in. You protect yourself and those you love who may come in harm's way. This is for all the mothers and fathers. We teach people how to treat us. When we say, "I forgive you for killing my child in cold blood, you need prayer. I forgive you for calling the police on my child to get him locked up with adult men who will rape him and ruin his life, depriving him of his dreams," another dream deferred. "But I forgive you. But I forgive you. Let's shake hands so the whole world will see that this was just another misunderstanding. And if I do decide to sue, any jury will not condemn you because it was all just a misunderstanding. You meant no harm. All is forgotten." If someone keeps offending you, you don't keep accepting their apology because it is not sincere, especially at the expense of someone else, and not even at your own expense. You don't shove your feelings under the rug and say, "That's okay. It doesn't matter," because it's not okay and it does matter.
Not okay.
This is a tactic the media uses with only black people and mostly with black women. The society has black women afraid or reluctant to be angry. No, that is reserved for white women only. Black women are supposed to tuck our heads up under our feathers and keep it moving. Be strong. Take a licking and keep on ticking. Well, this is, for the record, one angry black woman, and I have every right to be. It's how I use my anger that matters, but I refuse to ignore it. Namaste.
Namaste. Namaste. Namaste. Hey, you refuse. I know that's right, fella.
I refuse to ignore my anger.
we've been stigmatized to be this angry black woman.
People will continue to walk on your back so long as you lie down. Yes, I'm angry. If anybody has a right to be angry in this world, in this country, it's the black woman. So
you've taken me away from my culture. You've caused friction between me and my counterparts for so many years.
Taking away my children.
Forcing us to not have relationships. Telling me I'll have more money by not being in a relationship. You're giving me some welfare. I don't need him. I don't need a man.
Putting out propaganda that one in four women have AIDS. Really?
Yes.
So what happened to the rash of black men getting AIDS then, who were sleeping with the black woman? Another propaganda to turn the men away.
None of it makes sense. None of it makes sense, right? None of it makes sense at all. So I was cut off. You know, we have the storm here on the island. So I was cut off with Norbert Redlu's biography, but I'll just conclude it. Maybe I'll pick back up on him another time.
Yes, because it was a lot.
It's quite a bit of
very valuable information.
It's quite a bit, but I'll just share this that I did not know about Norbert Redlu. In New Orleans, he suffered professional prejudice. Feather the light.
Professional
prejudice. That's a whole other topic in and of itself. When he tried to turn his engineering skills to solving a health problem in New Orleans, which experienced periodic epidemics of yellow fever, during which many of its citizens died, Redlu knew that yellow fever was carried from person to person by a certain type of mosquito. That mosquito was breeding in the swamps and lowlands of New Orleans. He also knew that mosquitoes bred only in water and therefore could be eliminated by depriving them of water. Redlu worked out an engineering plan for draining the swamps that would eliminate the places where these mosquitoes were breeding. With the mosquitoes gone, yellow fever, of course, would be wiped out. He submitted this plan to the city sewage system. The plan was turned down because it was the work of a black man.
Isn't that something?
Years later, after Redlu was gone,
after many more deaths,
the city was forced to implement a plan that was very similar to what Redlu submitted.
Refused help.
Right. No, we'll just let them die. But that's, you know what? Like I always say, Featherlight, these people run the same playbook. Remember when, not that Obamacare was perfect, but when all of these different states, Texas included, Texas pretended like at that time we had, what's his name, Governor Rick Perry. He publicly rejected the Obamacare money, but privately accepted it because he knew Texas needs some money. Okay, there's too many people here to not have some damn healthcare money. Okay, with all of these hospitals. Okay, it's too many jobs here. That's an industry here, the medical industry. He's not that damn stupid. He can't remember shit and play dumb like George Bush. But a lot of these presidents, you know, even like Trump. Now, Trump may say some off the wall things, but these people are not just dumb. They're schooled and trained to project a type of image so that they can appeal to certain voters, because you can't over talk people. That's what you learn in communications. You have to speak the language that they understand. That's what Malcolm used to say. Dr. King, he had to adjust his speaking because Dr. King will often separate himself. You notice if you listen to his speeches, Dr. King would always say like the Negro. He wouldn't always be inclusive of himself. He was not always inclusive. Right. He didn't always, because he was of a different category. He was of an elite status.
Yeah.
So he wouldn't always include himself. The Negro people. You know, I'm not taking anything from Dr. King. I'm speaking from a communication perspective. just speaking fact, speaking fact. So, but yeah, I just want to share that about Norbert Ryu. I was completely unaware that he also submitted this plan to prevent the city of New Orleans citizens from dying from the yellow fever. And because he was a black man, his plan was rejected. All right. So that's
cut off your nose. That's another example of cutting off your nose despite your face.
Despite your face. Yeah. Despite your Okay. Let me just share my gemstone quickly and then we can go into our breathing. Okay. So the gemstone for Kinoy is red jade. And it harmonizes your nervous system channels, passions in constructive ways, harmonizes dysfunctional relationships. Red jade is a symbol of purity and serenity, increases love, releases negative thoughts, and it soothes your mind. It's a protective stone, brings harmony, aids emotional release through dreams. Manifest dreams. It treats your kidneys. Remove toxins.
Wow.
Rebuilds cellular and skeletal system. Helps stitches heal.
It's pretty too.
It's beautiful. I'll find a picture and post it. And you can just place this on the appropriate points. And that's our gemstone for tonight. And let me see. I think it was because we finished. We finished a section of our gemstones, and so we're moving on. We completed the clear crystals last week. So now we are on our red crystals, people. So red crystals, red gemstones. That's what we're on now. So we completed our clear.
All
right. Oh, wow. I love it. All right. Yes. Ooh, I'm so ready to breathe so I can listen to this storm outside.
Yes, indeed. Can you hear this?
Yes, I can. It's perfect.
Okay, very good. Okay, I have my headset on.
Very good.
All right. So, first we'll do our greeting. So, sit or stand tall with your shoulders back. Okay. Raise your chest up slightly. Okay. And then lift your chin up a little bit so that the back of your head is aligned with your spine. Now raise your shoulders up and then let them fall gently. But don't slouch. Okay. That's your posture. That is your proper posture. We're on the computer so much we tend to slouch, and then our shoulders get so used to slouching, and so we forget our proper posture. So, circle your arms. Make sure that your feet are together, sitting or standing, flat on the floor. Circle arms out and over your head. Place palms together. Well, inhale. Circle arms out and over your head, palms together. Bring palms together in front of your chest. Actually, right at the heart chakra, which is in the middle. Bring them down. Anjali Mudra, smile, bow. The divine in me honors the divine in you. Namaste.
Namaste.
Inhale and circle arms out and over the head again. Now this time, bring your palms down with your palms facing you and bring your energy down over your crown, over your chest, over your abdomen, and toward your hips and toward the earth. Repeat again. Inhale up and down over your crown, your chest, your abdomen, your hips, and toward the earth. And one last time, inhale up, and bathe yourself in good chi over your body. Okay, so we're going to do a little neck and shoulder release for all the tension. Relax your shoulders down. Remember, do not let them slump over. Inhale and slowly turn your head to the right. Make sure you align your chin with your right shoulder. Keep your shoulder down. Exhale. Inhale and bring your head back to the center. Exhale. Inhale and slowly turn your head to the left, aligning your head with your left shoulder. Keep your shoulder down, relaxed. Exhale. Inhale and return your head to the center. Exhale and drop your chin to your collarbone. Take some deep breaths here. Inhale, exhale. Inhale and lift your chin up towards the sky. Exhale and return to the center. Inhale. Exhale and drop your right ear to your right shoulder, keeping your shoulder down. And inhale, lift your chin up. Exhale and back down. Inhale, back to the center. Exhale and drop your left ear to your left shoulder. Keep your shoulder relaxed, slightly tucking your chin. Inhale, lift your chin up. Exhale, bring it down. Inhale, up. Exhale, back to the center. Rest your body and breathe normally. Now, spread your feet a little past your shoulder width if you are standing. And it really won't matter if you're sitting. Just make your feet comfortable. Inhale and circle your arms up over your head with your palms facing each other and touching. Exhale and interlock the fingers of both hands. Now inhale. Lengthen your body and twist your entire upper body, if you're sitting, to the left. Keep your feet grounded if you're standing. Exhale and return to the center. Inhale, twist your body to the right. Exhale and return to the center. Repeat one more round. Inhale, twist. Exhale, back to the center. Inhale, twist. Exhale, back to the center. So this is lengthening your body. It's exercising your spine. Rest your body. And now we're going to do a little centering. Oh, first, let's relax. Let's shake the tree a little bit because we did some qigong exercises using our energy. So just shake your hands if you're sitting. Just shake your hands, shake your wrists, shake your elbows if you're standing. You can shake your knees and your legs. If you're sitting, just stomp your feet up and down lightly. Okay. Just shaking is really good to release stress. When they say shake it off, they mean literally shake it off.
Shake it off.
Okay, shake it all off. We want to get rid of that cortisol. Too much stress, too much stress. Breathe normally. Slow it down. And notice how your body feels. It should be tingling. That's that energy. Okay. And now we're going to close with the lotus flower poem. There is so much to be learned from her. She's planted in the mud, and yet she blooms, the lotus flower. So like the lotus flower that is born of mud, We must honor the darkest part of ourselves and the most painful of our life's experiences, because they are what allow us to birth our most beautiful self. So yes. Stand tall or sit tall, chin forward, shoulders back, and relax. Inhale and exhale slowly. Inhale deeply and circle your arms out and up over your head, palms facing and touching. Slowly bring your palms down to the center of your chest as before in the Anjali Mudra with your praying hand symbol. This represents the flower of beauty, strength, and purity. So open the flower slowly by opening your palms and keeping your little fingers together and your elbows close to your body. Inhale and breathe in its strength. And as you exhale, close the flower with two fists together. Now inhale, breathe in, and push your hands out to the universe. Exhale and let them drop to your sides. Inhale, bring them back to the prayer pose. Exhale and smile. Bring the smile to your heart. Breathe normally and repeat after me. The God in me.
The God in
honesty,
me.
The God in you. Namaste.
Namaste.
Thank you for participating in our pranayama and qigong. And we also did some yoga. You did great.
Yes.
Absolutely. Namaste.
Namaste to you, Feather Light. Namaste to all of our listeners, and may you have a beautiful and prosperous week filled with abundance. Namaste.
Ashe.
Ashe.